The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus told his parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like the other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, and even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but the one who humbled themselves will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill our hearts anew and afresh this morning. Speak your word, Lord Jesus Christ. Write it upon our hearts and draw us ever closer to you. We give you this time in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It's a time of national crisis. There are warnings of imminent financial crash. The geopolitical situation is growing worrisome. The nation's leaders are warned that they must change their ways. And God is forgotten. People on a massive scale have turned away from God to follow their own pursuits. Such was the situation in which the Old Testament prophet Joel spoke. Doesn't it sound eerily similar to our world today? Joel's an interesting little book, only three chapters tucked into the minor prophets of the Old Testament. And Joel describes a very general, it's not located in specific historical events, and it makes dating the book difficult. And then there are these images in the book, and it's hard to know whether you're supposed to take them literally or not. There is an army of locusts. Does that mean a plague of locusts coming like an army? Or does that mean an army coming like a plague of locusts? We don't know. The ESV Study Bible suggests that perhaps the lack of historical reference allowed this book to be used repeatedly as a lament for God's people in times of national crisis. Joel speaks of a calamity and tells God's people that if they would yet repent and turn back to God, he may still show mercy. Amid the lament of national crisis and the calls for people to repent, Joel also offers hope, looking to a future time. In latter days, when God will restore his people. It's from that section that our reading comes today. The passage speaks of a time when there will be ample rain. Isn't that appropriate this morning? An abundant harvest, a replenishment of wine, and a restored relationship with God. At the heart of that future restoration, Joel speaks of how the dynamic of relationship with God will be changed forever, because God in those days will pour out his Spirit on all people. Throughout the Old Testament period, the Holy Spirit would come upon individuals one at a time, often a prophet, inspiring him to write something that we recognize today as part of the Bible. But Joel says that a remarkable time is coming when not just one prophet at a time, not just one select leader, but all of God's people will have the Spirit within them. And the stunning thing that's so easy for us to take for granted is that those days of which Joel speaks are today. We are the people upon whom God has poured out his Spirit. Joel is writing about us. The Apostle Peter, on the day of Pentecost, makes this clear. The Holy Spirit is poured out on the disciples. There's the sound of wind, the visible manifestation of tongues and fire. And as Peter rises to address the crowd to explain what's happening, he says, "This is what Joel prophesied." And then he quotes the very passage that we read this morning, "The days that the Spirit will come upon all people." We are privileged to live in those days. This is the final sermon in my series on treasure hunting. In this series, we've been considering the gifts of the heart that God blesses us with, things far more valuable than worldly treasure. As we close this series today, we consider the greatest gift of all to be treasured, the indwelling presence of God in the Holy Spirit. It's interesting that Joel offers this incredible promise to a people who have just gone through, or maybe are about to go through, a calamity. He uses vivid poetic imagery. He says the locusts in chapters 1 and 2 are cutting, swarming, hopping, destroying. They leap, they run, they climb, they enter the city over the walls, into the houses, through the windows. This is a calamity, a total devastation on a national scale. Joel then pleads with the people to seek the Lord in solemn assembly together, in prayer and fasting, coming with sincere hearts, not focused on outward rituals, but turning back to God. He says this in verse 12, "Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts, not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love." This is what precedes the promise of restoration and abundance in today's reading. And I find it interesting to consider. The prophets of the Old Testament period often warned God's people of the results of wandering away from God to give their lives worshiping other things. In periods when God is forgotten, time and again the prophets warn that turmoil will ensue. And I wonder, is that perhaps a warning for us today? I wonder, in our country, the numbers of those in worship at church on Sundays is down. The number who believe in God is down. The number who identify as Christian is down. And meanwhile, we become busier and busier, giving ourselves to more and more pursuits, not all of which are bad, but is our country really still living into our motto, "In God we trust"? Do we still? The answer seems to be not as much as we used to. And might this have something to do with the uncertainty of our times, the rise in depression and anxiety, and the increasingly harsh acid of political rhetoric? What would be the result If massive numbers of people in our country turned back to God and cried out to Him in prayer, might we see a change in our country and in our world? We must note that the locusts of Joel have not come as punishment merely. They come to warn. They come to draw people back, to get people's attention. Sometimes in the nations of the world, even in our individual lives, hardship comes because we're on the wrong path. The hardship at such times comes not to inflict pain upon us, but to bring us up short, to cause us to take stock of our lives and consider what needs to change, what course correction do our lives need. In other words, sometimes difficulties come into our lives to call us to repent and return to the Lord. Sometimes hardship comes because of God's love, just as a father disciplines a son in whom he delights. Even when people are forgetting God and turning from Him, centering their lives on other things, still God wants to reveal His love and His mercy. God wants to be known. After the crisis, He comes with love and mercy so that people will know Him as He truly is. The promise is for an abundance of rain, a remarkable harvest, and then this incredible promise of the Holy Spirit. Young and old, male and female, slave and free, Joel says, all will have God's Spirit prophesying, having dreams and visions. The point that emerges from Joel and elsewhere in the Bible about the Holy Spirit is that when a people give up their foolish pursuits of other things, when they give their hearts fully to God anew, then God pours out His Spirit upon them in abundance. Joel says that in those days, God will restore the years the locusts have eaten. He will restore the fortunes of the people. He will give Himself, His very self, to the people, pouring His Spirit into them, His very life into them. This is at the heart of the message Peter gave on the day of Pentecost as well. He said, repent and be baptized, receive the Holy Spirit. The Spirit comes upon people in fullness when they surrender their lives and seek the Lord with all of their hearts. And the implications for us this morning are staggering. You have the Holy Spirit living within you. Do you know Him? Do you pay attention to the life of God within you day in, day out? We're about to use that kind of language this morning in baptism. In baptism, we talk about the Holy Spirit sealing and coming upon little Grayson Peter, who's about to be baptized. Now, that doesn't mean that the instant the water touches his head, the Holy Spirit comes in. That's a mechanical, magical view of God. Rather, baptism is a sacrament. That means an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. The water of baptism is a sign, an outward sign of new life, of cleansing, of dying to the old way of living for self. However, the inward and spiritual grace is not a one-time thing, but a process of the Holy Spirit coming into the child, filling the person throughout their life through faith as Grayson grows to take his baptismal vows and make them his own. The Holy Spirit will grow within him. The Holy Spirit's mysterious. Jesus says in John 3, the Spirit is like a wind. We don't know where it comes from or where it's going. The Spirit comes and the promise is extended today in baptism. But it's a process of learning to keep in step with the Spirit, learning to be aware of the Spirit, to give one's life to Christ as Lord. And so the great reminder for us today as we have a baptism is that all that we have, the Holy Spirit within us, we all have God's Spirit if we've been baptized. God, through Christ, extends the Spirit to us. We can experience God day in, day out, for real. God interacting with us, speaking, guiding, teaching, comforting, challenging, and directing us by means of the Holy Spirit. It's real. God lives within you. Do you want to know this God of mercy, abundance, and love within you? Do you want to experience the blessings of a fruitful harvest, an abundant harvest in your life? And I don't mean material blessings, but treasures of the heart, such as love, joy, and peace. If you want that, then come in faith. Believe it in the depth of your soul this morning. The Holy Spirit is within you. And just as Joel called the people to repent, so God continues to call us to forsake the things in our lives, the sinful desires that draw us from the love of God. For such things quench the Holy Spirit. That's the language that Paul uses in 1 Thessalonians. He says, don't quench the Spirit. You can quench the Spirit of God within you, like throwing water on a flame. When you give your heart, when you give your passion, your effort, and attention to other things. Just as Joel warns, so the New Testament warns us not to give our lives to things that cause us not to thirst for the living God. And so let us seek the fullness of the Spirit within us today. I invite you, as we go into this baptismal service, to renounce once again all the sinful desires that draw you from the love of God, the things of this world, the evil, the self-worship, that's the tendency of every one of us as human beings. Renounce them. I find it amazing that as you consider the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures, there are three elemental images that are used of the Spirit of God. Have you ever thought about this? The Spirit of God is likened to wind, breath, that's air. The Holy Spirit is likened to fire, and the Holy Spirit is likened to water, living water. Air, fire, water, the basic life-giving elements and energy present in the universe. The Spirit of God is wind, is fire, is water. And we're made from dust of the earth. According to Genesis, we're basically made up of carbon, a few other atoms found in the earth, and of course, water. And yet who we are is so much more than chemical composition of our bodies. Just as with Adam, through the Holy Spirit, God breathes his life into us. Spirit means breath. If you thought about that, you have within you the very breath of God. You live because God breathed life into you, and you become truly alive to become the person God created you to be as he breathes the Holy Spirit into you. Would you take a moment, even with me this morning, to be aware of this? Perhaps as you breathe for a moment, you would, as you breathe in, pray, fill me with your Spirit. And as you exhale, cleanse me of my sin. Just as when we exhale carbon dioxide and the gases that are harmful to us that can become toxic, we breathe out. So as we exhale, we pray God to forgive us, to cleanse us of our sin. And as we inhale, reminding ourselves that we have the breath of God filling our lungs. Fill me with your Spirit. Cleanse me of my sin. The Holy Spirit is also referred to as fire. It's with tongues of fire that the Spirit came upon the apostles on Pentecost. Fire comes to purify and refine. Precious metals are melted with fire so that the impurities will rise to the surface and can be scraped off. What are the impurities in your life that the Holy Spirit needs to burn off? What barriers are preventing you from fully experiencing God and the Holy Spirit within you? You have the Spirit fire within you. Will you rebuke the things in you that quench that flame? What is quenching the fire of the Spirit within you this morning? Is it perhaps like the Pharisee in today's gospel, pride? Pride not wanting to admit I need God's help? Not wanting to appear foolish or weak? Pride perhaps not wanting to go God's way but to go my own? The fire of the Holy Spirit is upon you this morning. Will you allow the Spirit to melt away the pride in your life? Perhaps you must surrender your fear to God. Perhaps that is the barrier. Perhaps you're afraid. If you really surrender all to the Spirit of God, He'll lead you to go somewhere or do something that you don't want to do, a place you don't want to go. He says to you this morning, if that's where you are, trust me. Think about it. If the God who made you, who knows every single molecule in your body, every potential ability you have, if He wants to lead you somewhere, even if you don't realize it at first, you do want to go there. Third, the image in Scripture of the Holy Spirit is water. And Jesus describes the water He gives as welling up to eternal life. He speaks of giving living water. Water that cleanses, water that we need to drink every day to survive. Water is life-giving. Water is present at birth. Will you this morning drink deeply of the living water of the Holy Spirit? Drink not the toxic mixture of liquors present in our world. All those things that draw you from the love of God. You will not find life in them. Drink deeply of the water of the Holy Spirit. Let water burst the dam of sins and self-centeredness that have clogged the pathway for the Spirit in your life for too long. Will you drink deeply today of the presence of God? God wants to be known through the Holy Spirit. God has connected with men and women throughout the ages, and God wants to connect with you this morning. Will you fill your lungs with the breath of God? Will you allow the fire to burn the impurities of your life? And will you drink deeply of the life-giving water of the Spirit this day? Because the promises are abundant. When we do this, you will dream dreams. You will see visions. You will experience remarkable answers to prayer. You will be led to know things you wouldn't otherwise be able to know. You will find the power to love. You will know the peace in your soul that passes understanding, even amidst difficult circumstances. You will find the joy of the Lord, even in times of sorrow. You will heal the sick. You will speak life to others around you. You will speak God's word to others in prophecy. You will be directed by the very voice of God within. These and so much more await you in the Holy Spirit. Let go of the other pursuits. Surrender your pride. Rebuke your anxiety and unbelief. The breath of God fills you this day. The water of life transforms you, and the refining fire purifies you. Trust in the Lord Jesus, who gives you life abundantly, and treasure in your very life the fullness of the Holy Spirit. To Him be the honor, glory, power, and praise, now and forever. Amen.